Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Thursday. We are packed live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. I had a one-day retirement yesterday. Ate an omelet, took a nap, played tennis. I had the greatest one-day retirement of all time, a midweek day off, and now I'm back for the next 2 days. Joy Taylor, how are you?
I will be honest. I spent most of yesterday sleeping.
Sleeping?
A significant amount, yes.
Just chilling out at home and sleeping.
Yeah, like how teenagers can sleep an obscene amount.
And my daughter takes 4.5 hour naps.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore. I used to be able to do that, and yesterday I achieved it.
So you have a lot of energy today.
Yes, I'm very well rested.
So this is to me, I cover football, we cover football until about, the Super Bowl, then a week we talk about football. And this is the time I start watching a lot of NBA games. And last night I watched Denver and the Lakers. And I'll get more into the game later. But I want to talk about LeBron James. He was unbelievable last night. And there's always been this debate with Michael Jordan and LeBron. And I've always said they're just two different people. And as people age, I've noticed something. They become more of who they truly are. Because when you get older and you have money and you don't really need as many things as you get older, you become more of who you are. You don't have to placate people and be a yes man and brown nose the boss. And you become, as you age, more of who you truly are. And LeBron, I like the way he ages more than Michael Jordan. Now, it should be noted, as the Lakers beat Denver in overtime last night in Denver, which is saying something, that both players at 35 years old, MJ and LeBron, were great. MJ was the league MVP, 29 points a game. LeBron's averaging 25 points a game, shooting 49%. MJ was the best player in the game. And let's be honest, LeBron's still the best player, most dominant player in the NBA, and will control the league. Hell, he even controls the TV ratings. But here's the stark difference. And again, as you age, you become more of who you are. At 35, Michael Jordan had the fewest assists of his Chicago career. LeBron this year has the most. And that's who they are. Michael Jordan's answer, and he's the best basketball player I think I've ever seen. He, Magic, LeBron. Michael Jordan's answer to everything was, I got this. LeBron's answer to everything is, we got this. As Michael became a truer personification of who he was at 35, the fewest assists, LeBron the most. Even their Olympic experiences. Michael went to the Olympics and was battling Magic to prove I'm better than you. LeBron goes to the Olympics, knows he's the best player, and tries to create a community and friendships with other players. If you go, listen, Michael Jordan, at this point at 35, LeBron's got 320 more regular season games, 4 full seasons, 60 more playoff games. He should be worn down. He should be beat up. LeBron is fresher. He's happier. I've never seen him. Last night, he was totally laser focused. There is no bitterness. Michael Jordan, after his 35th birthday, quit for a second time. And it really gives you sort of a view on how to age. Listen, Michael's a great basketball player, but even as he's retired, he's just disappeared into his own sort of cocoon. That's not going to be how LeBron retires. He's going to be a global and domestic basketball ambassador. You'll hear about him all the time, not just through press releases like MJ. But as I looked at Michael Jordan at 35 years old, he was great. But it was in his last year in Chicago, I got this. I'm getting another title. Fellas, get on my shoulders. I got this. And that is seen as bravado and machismo, and basketball people love that. But Michael was burnt out. He retired for a second time. And he waited a few years and went to Washington and was never the same player. I watched LeBron last night. 320 more games than MJ, 60 more playoff games. He is so fresh and so good and so focused and so easy to play with. Last night, he's got the most assists now in his career. He's averaging 11.5 a game. And by the way, they only have one other real true scorer, It's not like he's got seven guys he can depend on. Kyle Kuzma's their number three, and he's averaging 15, 16 a night. So I like the way LeBron has aged. I like his base DNA. LeBron's going to age incredibly well and is aging. He is an incredibly fresh 17th year in the NBA. I see very little wear and tear. I see no bitterness. I see a focused, loving, into it, we got this DNA guy. And I know you can call Michael the best ever. I get it. But I talk about this with my wife all the time. I don't want to be a crusty old bitter guy when I retire doing, you know, Winnebago commercials on local radio. I want to age well. I want to be happy. I want to be part of a community. I want to make other people better. I look at LeBron last night in Denver, a tough place to play. I'm blown away by it. This guy has figured out how to do it. Surround yourself, lean on people, ask for some help, pass the ball more. It's not like LeBron couldn't go out and score 33 a night. You watching that game last night? Nobody can stop him. Denver's got no answer for him. Utah's got no answer for him. The only team in the NBA that has an answer for him, Milwaukee with Giannis at the rim and the Clippers on the wing with Paul George and Kawhi. Nobody else has an answer for LeBron. Utah doesn't have a guy to guard him. Houston doesn't. Portland's got Carmelo in the wing. He can't stop him. LeBron can score. There's a great stat about LeBron James. My favorite LeBron stat of all time is that LeBron in high school, I think his junior year, John, you can look it up. My numbers aren't exact, but LeBron as a junior in high school averaged like, you know, 27, 28 a game. You know, like freshman, he averaged this, then sophomore, then junior. So you could think LeBron as a junior in high school is averaging like 27 points a game. What did he average? 39 or 40 a senior year. No, he didn't. He didn't. He averaged a point or two more as he was in his massive growth stage, because that's who LeBron is. That's why he's happy. That's why he's not quitting for the second time. That's why he doesn't turn off all his teammates like MJ did when he went to Washington, where nobody could stand playing with him. Last night, they asked Anthony Davis, what do you make of LeBron? And he's like, well, he's the best player on the team. The players love him. I mean, what did Joy and I say the amazing thing about this Laker team when they added AD? And all these parts, the first thing we said, Joy and I said the first month was, hell, they're like best friends. Their chemistry's incredible. Michael's last stop, nobody could stand him. And this is not to bash Michael Jordan, but watching LeBron play with the joy and the focus and the happiness and the sharing and the most assists, that's how I want to age. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You give a little, you don't, it's not a, I got this, it's a, we got this. And it is a pleasure to watch. All right, well, the interweb, for those of you just tuning in, that's the internet. It was Al Gore created it years ago, I think. And it's called the interweb. I'm on it all day. And boy, it went crazy yesterday when my friend, Bucky Brooks, who played in the NFL, that sort of matters, and scouted for the Carolina Panthers, and now he works for the NFL Network, he came out. And, oh, scary times on the interweb. He listed his top five quarterbacks. Joe Burrow wasn't number one. In fact, Bucky Brooks' top five quarterbacks were the exact order I would put them in. Tua number one, Joe Burrow number two, Justin Herbert very close two to a three, Jordan Love four, and Jacob Eason five. By the way, until mid-November, you do realize everybody had Tua over Joe Burrow in mid-November. But what happened, and this happens a lot in sports, you get these perfect storms. And Joe Burrow, nobody will admit this, I like the kid, but he had a perfect storm. LSU rolled the dice on a coach from the Saints named Joe Brady. None of us knew who he was. And Joe Brady ended up being a perfect fit. LSU's offensive line was named the number one offensive line in the country this year. They had a star running back, two star receivers, and a good tight end. They also played Tua when he was about 60%. And then they got to play the national championship, you know, as a home game in New Orleans. It was a perfect storm. Perfect storm for Joe Burrow, who, it should be noted, is a fifth-year senior. That's what I said about Baker Mayfield. Be careful about Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield came into the NFL older than Sam Darnold, older than Lamar Jackson. So he was closer to his ceiling. I think what you see of Baker is his ceiling. I think what you see of Joe Burrow, this is his fifth year. He's transferred. Last year at LSU, his numbers were average. He's an older quarterback, closer to his athletic ceiling. Tua didn't have to wait until his fifth year to be great. He was remarkable at 19 as a true freshman, called on in the national championship against a great Georgia team and delivered three touchdown passes to win the game. Take a deep breath. Until mid-November, Tua was number one on everybody's board. Then he got banged up, people are freaking out, and they've moved him down. I'll say it again. It happens in sports, and it happens all the time. You get this perfect storm of events. You play Oklahoma first. You don't have to play Ohio State first in the playoff. You get the championship at home. You bring in an assistant that takes an average Joe Burrow and fits perfectly. You have the best offensive line, a star running back, great LSU wide receivers. You play Tua when he's 60%. I love Tua. I like Joe Burrow. But loving Tua doesn't mean you hate Joe Burrow. I just think it was a perfect series of events that allowed Ed Orgeron, a guy that lost to Troy at home in his second year at LSU, to be named National Coach of the Year. I'm going to bet that never happens again, and I'm happy for Ed, and he'll win a bunch of games. But he was on his way out by year three if they lost one more game. It was such a perfect year for LSU that Ed Orgeron fired at Ole Miss. USC wouldn't give him a shot. About to get canned at LSU, won the National Coach of the Year, deserves it, happy for him, good guy, great story. But I think Ed's story at this point is leaped his coaching ability. He's a solid coach. He's not the best college football coach. And Joe Burrow's story and perfect storm has leaped his ability. Arm, solid. Size, okay. Athletic ability, solid, good. Tua's accuracy is Drew Brees great. Interweb, take a deep breath. We get these perfect storms all the time, and they elevate coaches and players. I love Tua. I like Burrow, and Bucky Brooks nailed it. Tua, Burrow, Herbert, love, Jacob Eason.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
We now have, and I noticed this about 9 months ago when Adam Schefter, a friend of mine and somebody I respect, somebody everybody at Fox respects, NFL reporter, said, this Brady thing, he's going to look around. Don't kid yourself on this. So this is not Slappy the blogger. It's Adam Schefter. Christian Fourier, a former NFLer Patriot, now works in Boston media, came out yesterday and said, Tom's done, and they're done with Tom. New England's done with Tom. Now, again, I have my beliefs on where he's going to go, but there's three or four things we have to all be honest about here. We now have legitimate reporters who I trust and players that know Tom that are saying, these are not, again, these are not bloggers quoting each other. These are real people. We also know that Brady and Belichick, Jay Glazer reported, Tom's not taking a pay cut. We also know Belichick generally doesn't pay anybody. I mean, outside of Stephon Gilmore, anybody. We've seen tension in this relationship. We know that I can tell you, I have one thing sourced. Brady is privately grumbling to those close to him about the lack of weapons and New England's inability over the last 5 or 6 years post Randy Moss to get weapons and keep weapons and draft and develop weapons. These are all things you can't dispute. So I've been thinking a lot about this morning. And on our show, we love pies. We love a good, delicious pie. And I was going to do a Brady pie this morning because I think it's at least optically, it's the easiest thing to put your arms around. 70% of the pie, I think Tom's going back to New England, not because he's totally happy, but moving at his age, learning a new offense is a pain in the rear. I'll give 1% to retirement. He just throws his hands up in the air. 4% a surprise team. I just don't buy the Chargers. I don't. I have connections to the franchise. I don't buy them. I don't buy Oakland. I don't care that he bought a house there. I don't buy that. I don't buy Miami. A team I'm going to throw out there, and the more I think about this, I think they're the favorite in the clubhouse beyond New England. It's the Tennessee Titans. And I'll tell you why I think this. I've moved 4 times in my career across the country, and I was comfortable and making a lot of money in all the places. But when you move, you always move for the same reasons. You choose a place that is solving a current headache. Every place I left, there was an obstacle or a headache, and I wanted to solve it. And I didn't believe I could solve it. Sort of like Brady. What are Brady's 2 annoyances in New England that he can't solve? Number one, Belichick will not spend money on weapons. He doesn't. He wouldn't spend it on his buddy Welker. He doesn't. And Tom can't overcome that because Tom can't control acquisitions and trades. So Tom can't control that. So he wants better weapons. Secondly is he wants to have more fun. He wants to have fun. He's got the money and the titles. Bill's not fun. Bill's uncomfortable. They don't have a relationship, really. So just think of the one place that solves both of those. The 2 annoyances Tom can't fix. Fun. Mike Vrabel's one of his best friends. He coaches Tennessee. He'd have fun with Mike Vrabel. Number 2 is they have excellent weapons. Arguably the best running back in the league. They've got 2 excellent receivers. A rookie last year from Ole Miss crushed it. They've got a slot receiver, Adam Humphries, and a lot of draft picks. They solve the annoyances that are currently unsolvable. He would have a lot more fun, and they've got weapons. Nashville is also a cool city. I don't think that's the be-all, end-all. But if you said Indianapolis or Nashville, most people with money and options would choose Nashville as a place to live. I certainly would. Joy, if given an option, probably would. I think Tom Brady would. I don't think that's the be-all, end-all. But I do think Nashville's a fun, cool, hip city where, you know, it's still close to the Eastern time zone. I think Nashville, to me, kind of gained steam. And the other thing that matters here, you know, they've said before it's easier for a child's brain to learn a new language than an older person. That it's my daughter can speak French. She at 12 and 13 and 14 years old, she picked up French like that. If you're trying to get me to figure out how to speak French, good luck. Picking up a new language later in life is hard. Tennessee speaks Tom's language. Mike Vrabel knows his culture and his language. The GM's a former Patriot. There are Patriots all through the building. They're not all through the building in Indy or Miami or Oakland or the Chargers. They're not. There's a couple in Miami, a couple. So between solving the 2 annoyances, he'd have more fun and he'd have more weapons and the reality that in an incredibly winnable division. And that you talk about a place he could go tomorrow, a Jacksonville, dysfunctional Houston, Indianapolis doesn't have a quarterback. He walks in, can win a division. They speak my language. I'd have fun and I'd have weapons. Here's my Tom Brady, my official final Tom Brady delicious pie. 70% New England, 25% Titans, 4% shocker, 1% I give up, I'm quitting.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I have never watched a ton of NBA in October, November, December, January. I don't think the teams care much. You get into mid-February, late February, and then you start watching these NBA games, and the players are into it. You can tell. The good teams start to dial stuff in. The trading deadline's over, so you're stuck with what you got. You know, you can't go to the social media and demand this or demand this. At this point, the teams are what they are. This is what they are. And I watched the Lakers and the Nuggets last night in Denver.
It was a great game.
And it was a great game, and it felt like a playoff game. It felt like a playoff game.
It was intense. Yeah.
You could see this. Now, Giannis took the night off for Milwaukee, and they couldn't score. So you can do that way as well. But last night I watched Denver and at home, a very good team. And then I watched the Lakers. And I have said about Denver, after Jokic, and then I like Jamal Murray, they don't have a third guy. You just can't go into, and they're really, really young. Last night's a great example of why Denver is not going to get out of the West yet. And why the Lakers have a chance to get out of the West and win it all. Although I don't think the Lakers should be favorite. Last night showed you all the limitations of Denver, and it showed you why the Lakers are going to end up at minimum in the Western Conference Finals. And I said this 2 days ago. So I watched the game last night, and it was classic. Second quarter, Jokic, a great player, gets cold. Doesn't do anything. He's not. They get outscored 18-2. Jamal Murray disappears, and they don't have a third score. That's Denver's problem. You can't rely on Jokic to be dominant for 48 minutes. Players have dry spells. Players get fatigued. He kind of disappears, and there's nobody else in the building for Denver. Nobody. Jamal Murray shot 3 times, missed all of them. They don't have a third score. Gary Harris is not going to get you to the neck. You can't depend on him. It showed all the limitations of Denver. Denver's at home. It's high altitude. It's the day before the All-Star game. It's Denver's game to win. They got the home crowd. They're standing as they tip it off, and they have a dry spell in the first half. And then late in the game, Denver has 24-year-old Jokic, 22-year-old Jamal Murray, 25-year-old Gary Harris, one starter over 25 years old. Late in the game, and overtime, they just couldn't make the play. Of course they couldn't, because they're kids. And the Lakers, who have Rondo. Dwight Howard was once carrying a team to the finals. You got JaVale McGee, Avery Bradley, LeBron James. You have all this playoff experience. The Lakers go to Denver, high altitude. Game goes to overtime. They should be gassed with their old roster, and the Lakers made all the big plays late. And that's what the playoffs are. For an old team, day before the All-Star game, to go into high-altitude Denver and to be able to go to overtime. I mean, that place, it's a different altitude, folks. You're not playing at sea level. You're playing up in the mountains. It buries teams. Even average Denver teams are good at home. The Lakers made all the crucial steal, couple threes by AD. They tie up, create a jump ball. All the crucial plays late by all the veteran Laker players. And that young team in Denver doesn't make them. And that's the playoffs. This is why Denver can win a playoff series, potentially could win a second, but they'll never, to me, never win the Western Conference Finals. Last night's a great example. It was a playoff game in February. That's what a playoff game feels like. And it was a classic game. The Lakers will end up winning those in the playoffs because they have all these sage veterans. I mean, Dwight Howard's coming off the bench, and this is a guy who's been to NBA Finals. This is a guy who was a leader of a franchise. He's not what he used to be, but he's been a hell of a player for the Lakers this year off the bench. And then I'm not a Rondo fan, but Avery, Rondo, JaVale, that game told you exactly what you're going to see in April. Young, talented Denver team that needs a third guy, and count on anybody when Jokic is a little off or has a dry spell for 6 minutes, and a Laker team that's going to get outplayed certain nights and figure out a way to win because they have all these cagey veterans. LeBron talked about the game last night, which you could tell clearly he felt like this is a big one because we may end up playing at Denver in the playoffs, and we want to let them know these are the games we'll win.
Every opportunity that we get to play in a close game versus a tough opponent, you know, it's a learning experience for all of us. It prepares us, you know, for a postseason game where it's going to be back and forth. I thought tonight was a playoff atmosphere, both teams being number one and number two in the West Conference, you know, jockeying for position. So, you know, just trying to make plays, whatever it takes, you know, on the offensive end, on the defensive end. And, you know, and 80 was there, you know, knocking down big threes, getting a block, getting some stops. You know, I got the jump ball as well, just big time.
All the big plays. Spectrum Sportsnet, thanks for the video there. All the big plays late. The old team that should be tired in OT, getting ready for a nice All-Star break, made all the big plays late. The young guys did not. Welcome to what the playoffs look like in April, May, and June.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Dak Prescott was asked a couple days ago, is he worth $40 million? And Dak shot back, what do you think, to the reporter? People tend to use they tend to use words like deserve. Let's just talk about what contract negotiations are. Here's the word: leverage. It's not about deserving. I've never been paid because I deserve something. I've been paid a lot of money if I have some leverage. The company needs me at least a little bit, and maybe I have other offers. It's called leverage. It's not called deserve or earn. Dak has some leverage here, because the Cowboys don't have anybody behind him that can play, and it's the world's, well, it's America's biggest sports brand. That's leverage. Forget deserve and earn. Dak's got some leverage. Cowboys have some leverage. On the open market, Dak's not getting a lot of offers for $37 million. Let's start with zero and work our way down. So they both have leverage, different kinds of leverage. And because of that, a deal will get done. Now, it just comes down to a certain number. But the deal will get done because Dak needs them. On the open market, he's not getting this money. And the Cowboys need him. They don't want to go into chaos mode at quarterback. That's a nightmare. The one time they did, networks took Cowboy games off, and Jerry loves the publicity. Now, the concern is we have a quarterback in Dak that is going to get paid a lot of money, $35, $36 million. If you look at the current quarterbacks that are making that kind of money, Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl, Ben won two, Jared Goff got to one, Aaron got to one and won, Carson Wentz was having an MVP year when he got hurt, clearly shown the ability to carry a team, and Matt Ryan got to, should have, but didn't win a Super Bowl. Dak, with the best O-line, with the best running back, has a playoff win. That's a concern. Here's the reality with Dak. He doesn't miss starts, got excellent leadership qualities, and he keeps you in most NFL games. That and his leverage is going to get him probably $35 million bucks. Cap goes up, it won't hurt nearly as much. Here's my biggest problem with Dak and why I would probably franchise tag him. Here's my problem. When I say the word Apple, Google, Amazon, those are massive brands. They are imperfect and flawed, but they don't really have a ceiling. If I say Real Madrid, Manchester United, international sports teams, they are imperfect and have bad seasons, but they never have low ceilings. They can go get and pay for who they want. When I say Dallas Cowboys, Los Angeles Lakers, and New York Yankees, I'm not asking for perfect, but I would never want to be trapped and feel like I have a low ceiling. When the brand is universal, Google, Apple, Amazon, Real Madrid, Lakers, I can deal with imperfection. I don't like the term low ceiling. That's what worries me with Dak. You pay him 35, you're not going to be able to re-sign some guys defensively, and I think Dak's good. He's not special. I don't love that. It's why I would franchise him. I'd like to see him play again without Zeke for a couple weeks, maybe with a beat-up offensive line, prove he can carry it like Wentz has to me so far. But a deal's going to get done. It's not about deserving or earning. It's about leverage, and Dak has enough, and Dallas has enough that a deal will get done.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Will Blackman is joining me. 10 NFL seasons, a Super Bowl champ with the Giants, and now he's in the wine business. I screwed up last night. You slid into my DMs and asked me about...
I didn't slide. I asked you a question.
You asked me a question, which was...
I said, what kind of wine do you like?
And I thought I put Pinot Noir, and I put Pink Noir.
So I said, rosé?
And
you
I'm
said,
like,
no, Oregon Pinots.
Like, duh. And then I'm like, I just read 5 minutes ago, and I'm like, oh, I did put Pink Noir. My problem is I'd had a couple of glasses of Pinot Noir, so I couldn't see straight.
Yeah, I was at the shop. I was going to shop for you, and then you took too long.
You were what shop?
At the wine shop, yeah.
Man. Do you drink rosé?
No. But by the way, I've had rosé.
But
not
why
my,
not, though?
Because I like Pinots.
Okay.
I'm a guy that goes back to the same thing over and over. I'm not like a... I find what I like in life at a restaurant, and I order one or two things at the same... I go to the same restaurants, and I order the same two things. I'm not going to take big chances in my life now.
Why not?
You don't bungee jump at 70.
Why not? My grandpa went skiing at 73.
Well, skiing's not a risk for me. I'm an excellent skier. But I'm not going to jump out of a plane at 80. If I die at 84, it'll say Cowherd dies of old age. It won't say jumped off a cliff just to have a good time. Cowherd dies. So I'm not moving on to wines that I haven't tasted and haven't grown an affinity
That's
with.
That's very extreme, though. Jumping on a plane or trying rosé. That's very extreme, bro.
Will Blackman is joining me. So let me ask you this. When you take over a new business, I've done this a few times. I start a new show. I generally want to start from scratch. I went out and found John Goulet because I'd had John Goulet before. So I said, I got to get somebody that's familiar with me. I buy the Carolina Panthers. I got a new coach. I've changed the front office. I think I would move off Cam. I think I would move off him. And by the way, I'm already picking 7. I can get to the number 2 spot.
You moved off of a really good coach. So that's not far-fetched.
So what would you do if you ran the franchise in Carolina with Cam?
Well, based off what Tepper said, he said, I handle the business side. now I need to go down and handle the football side. And he is truly going through every single little piece of what's going on there.
Yes.
And his last interview, he said, okay, is Cam healthy? Because if he's not healthy, we can't do anything yet. So I'm sure he's truly waiting to see if he's healthy, because he can't be a guy that owns a dealership and he's like, man, I got this 2011 Bentley that is ready to go. We got a couple flat tires, so you have to wait until we repair it, you know? So I think that's truly what it is. I think he can get a second for Cam.
You can get a second rounder.
Yeah.
So I can draft my future quarterback. I've got a transitional piece, Kyle Allen, that's not my future, but I can compete with him.
And he's someone you can hold on to because he gets it.
He's a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
You can win with backups for a while.
They did.
Well, absolutely. Now let's go to Matt Stafford. Now, at least Cam's gotten to a Super Bowl. I like Matt. He's a good kid. He's got talent. 11 years, no division titles. Now he's a little broken down. He's still young enough. I could send him out to the trade market for Indy or the Chargers, and I think both potentially would bite. I would move off him, take the cap hit for a year. We're not winning the Super Bowl anyway, because I'm going to draft Tua with a number three pick. I'm not worried about the Super Bowl for a year. What I need to do is add juice, energy, and start over. Is that crazy, or would you keep Stafford?
If Stafford went to Indy, they are instantly going to the playoffs, because he's not going to get hit. Stafford.
So he has value on the market.
He has tons of value because just based on his skill set alone, I think the most underrated things people realize with Stafford is his arm strength.
Yes, no question.
I still have a ligament that is partially torn because I try to pick off one of his passes and it just went right through my hands. Like, he has a strong, and he's able to lead his team back.
But Will, I've always said this. When the Colts moved off Peyton, when you get a divorce.
Yeah.
You have to realize, as a man, I'll speak as a man, when you get a divorce, my ex-wife is going to find happiness elsewhere. I've got to come to terms with that and not worry about it. Indianapolis had to realize Peyton's going to leave us, and he's going to win for a while, but we're going to move on to Luck. Green Bay moves off Favre. Brett's going to be able to beat us for the next couple of years as we go to Rodgers.
Right.
When you move off somebody, the only way to move off a player with value is he's going to win somewhere else. Yeah, you got to come to terms.
But you also better have a plan.
And Tua's my plan, because Tua's not going one. So I love Tua as a plan. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I like that too.
If I could take Tua and say, listen, I'm going to move Stafford. I'm going to trade him.
But there's so many parts with Detroit where it's like they're not far off.
Oh, you really think that?
I think, yeah.
NFC.
In the NFC, I don't think they're far off because, one, when's the last time they had a 1,000-yard rusher? Reggie Bush? Was that like 13?
They going to have one now?
You got to find one. You got to get something like that. You got to get something there that's going to, once again, he has enough talent where, he has plenty of talent where he needs something complimentary around him. You know, when Marvin Jones came back, they were lighting it up until Marvin Jones got injured. You know, they still have Kenny Golladay, a great receiver. They got to get just more pieces on offense around him, find a way to protect him. They're not, when they have a franchise quarterback, like you said, he's still young and he's still able to do all these things. He can throw for 4,000 yards in his sleep.
I guess my take on Cam and Stafford is they have market value. They will win elsewhere. I don't deny it with the right fit.
Yeah.
But I need to start over. I need new juice.
Right.
I'm 11 years in with Matt Stafford, and I don't have a division title, and I don't have a playoff win.
Yeah, Detroit is an interesting
and
yet confusing organization because you don't know. At least with Tepper, that he's telling you what we're doing.
Oh, I know. Listen, Tepper's going to win games. I think he's going to offend some people, but he's going to win games.
Because he's honest.
He's brutal. He's cutthroat, bottom line, super bright. He's running his football team like he ran his hedge fund. He's going to make decisions.
Huh? Give me another quarterback.
Dak, what do?
You pay him.
All right. How much?
35.
That's fair.
36.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't pay him that much. Why can't I franchise tag him for 1 year?
Because I believe he deserves the contract.
Oh, deserves?
Yeah.
Deserves gets a lot of GMs fired. Is he special?
He's a franchise quarterback.
All right. So is he better than Andy Dalton?
He's better than Andy Dalton.
Is he better than Matt Ryan?
He's not better than Matt Ryan.
Is he better than Kirk Cousins?
That's debatable.
Okay. So $35 million for Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be comfortable with that.
If I had a turnkey situation like Minnesota and like Dallas does, yeah, Dak is good. Kirk Cousins is good for that.
All right.
Just come in here and don't mess it up.
Well, that's not very willful and aspirational.
It's not willful and aspirations, but that's why I look at...
Don't mess it up.
For example...
You can't win in Super Bowls on don't mess it up.
Well, for example, Minnesota thought they were one quarterback away. So they go get Kirk. As in, come here and get us to where we need to be because we have everything in peace, yeah. in place. Dallas, they felt like they had things in place and they needed someone to come here and as a head coach to get us to where we need to go because we have a lot of the pieces here.
So you think McCarthy and Dak is capable of getting to a conference championship?
I believe so.
All right. Then, by the way, you should pay him if you believe that.
Yeah.
Because if you think about – forget the Super Bowl. If you believe your quarterback – this is every quarterback in the league. Do you believe your quarterback can get to the conference championship? I didn't say win it.
Yeah.
If your quarterback can get to –
I 100% believe Dak can be the quarterback
that,
to get Dallas
That should
there.
Be the line.
Yeah.
Because once you get to the conference championship, you're facing Brady's and Rodgers. You're facing Russell Wilson, Mahomes. You know, that really is the baseline to all this.
It is.
If you believe your quarterback with the current construct of your coaching staff can get to a conference championship.
Yeah, division title is not enough now.
It's not enough. Deshaun Watson now.
He's going to win the South pretty much ever since Andrew Luck left. He's going to win the South a lot.
So Dak and McCarthy to you can get, then pay him.
Yep.
That's fair. What would you, what do you make of it? I can't believe this is a story. So years ago when Will Blackman's joining us. So years ago when Tim Tebow got hot and I was at the other place and I think I was the only on-air person of note in America during a 7-game winning streak
that said,
I just said, this is not, he's winning. But I'm not building around Tim
Tebow. He's a good football player.
He is a good football player. It's not sustainable. There's a difference between can he win Sunday and are you going to build around him? So all of a sudden, I never even thought of Taysom Hill as a starting quarterback. I mean, he's a good kid. I think he's a more athletic Tim Tebow. He ran a 4.45. Tebow ran a 4.7. He's a more athletic Tebow with a better throwing motion. I think he can win on Sunday. Taysom Hill can win on Sunday. But in all the years he's been in New Orleans, he's attempted 15 passes. Pretty much sums up what they think of his throwing.
He's blocking punts.
He is a great athlete. I never thought of him really as a franchise quarterback. I think of him as a more athletic Tebow, and I always said about Tebow, love to have him on my roster. I'm just not building around him. So there's this belief that if Breeze retired, I would go with Teddy Bridgewater. I wouldn't even think twice about it.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there saying, you know, the special teams coach said he throws a better ball than Lamar Jackson. Do you as a football player see Taysom Hill as a franchise quarterback?
No.
Neither do I.
I've never seen anything that will let me believe that.
That's exactly what I think.
He's a guy who's going to play 10 years because he has value.
And I would pay him. And by the way, I would love to have him on my roster.
I'd give him some kind of like a Matt Slater type of deal.
Even more. Because I think he can score touchdowns. Matt can block a punt.
Right.
You know, there are guys in this league. I think the mistake we make, Will, is we confuse he could win a game Sunday with I'm building around him. The infrastructure for Taysom Hill, you'd have to have this quirky offense. It just wouldn't work. So he's not as hyper-athletic as Lamar, and he can't throw nearly as well as the top 12 quarterbacks in the league. I don't get the story here.
Yeah, because you know he wasn't healthy in college. I think he got a medical redshirt in order to keep playing, and then – I haven't seen any full preseason games of him.
By the way,
he's going to have to go somewhere and win his job.
I could be wrong here. Let me look this up real quick. Hold on one second.
Troy, what's up?
He's going to turn 30. He's going to turn 30.
Okay.
So ask yourself, in the history of comedy, one stand-up comedian was a late bloomer. One, Rodney Dangerfield. Everybody else by 16, 18, 22.
What about Sinbad?
No, he was good and young.
Was he young? Okay.
Dangerfield's the only. Generally, if you look at in tech, nobody's a late bloomer in tech. The people that are great at 12, 18, Bill Gates, 16, you can't be 30 and nobody has said, let's make him a franchise quarterback. It's not a position you can be. Quarterbacks aren't late bloomers. I just don't see it. Finally, Tom Brady, your Tom today. What do you do?
I am staying with New England. And we look at Tom Brady and you're like, okay, what's the incentive, right? He's done everything.
Right.
If there's one thing that would motivate Tom is because there are only two organizations that have 6 Super Bowls, right? Patriots and Steelers. Maybe he wants 7. You stay and get 7. Otherwise, you go home.
Here's my Brady pie. 70% New England, 25% Nashville because he would have fun and he has struggled having fun. Retirement surprise team.
1% retirement?
Yeah, I mean, 1%. He just says, I'm done with this, guys. I don't trust New England. I've taken a beating. He's in Costa Rica with his wife and kids and is like, you know what? I don't miss it. I'm out. You think? What do you think retirement's at?
I think it's higher than that.
Higher as in?
I think like 25.
You think?
Yeah, I think it's 75-25. 75 New England, 25 retirement.
I can see him going to Costa Rica and just saying, you know what? We don't show any indication we're going to draft a tight end or wide receivers, and I'm out. I can see it, but I just have it a smaller percentage.
Yeah, if I'm him, I'm waiting to see what happens during preseason. Do I get weapons? He just needs offensive weapons. That's
well, all you have to wait for is the draft. You don't have to wait for preseason. But by that time, listen, New England's got to thread the needle here. Because bottom line, in order, if they want him, they have to pay him by March 18th, or it's a much bigger cap hit. So they have to thread the needle on this, and I don't think it's going to happen. Look, it's funny here. Tom can really screw over the Patriots. Tom can
Why would he?
Well, I'm not saying he would, but Tom's got a lot of leverage here. They don't have anybody in-house who can win a lot of games.
That's very true.
You know? Will Blackman, good seeing you.
Yeah, always.
A pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like when you're coming. In your life.
Yeah, among other things.
David Bruce, Pinot Noir. Fantastic.
Who? What is that?
David Bruce.
Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
Where's that from?
Santa Cruz Mountains.
Oh, yo. Love those.
His wine was in the 1976 Judgment of Paris.
Ooh.
Finished top 10 out of 20.
It's a sleeper.
It's not a sleeper. Draft pick. It's legit, dude.